Chapter 2. Sacrifice. Trace stepped out of Darcy's BMW and shut the door. She sped away from the curb and into the dark. Her face had transformed from weepy to livid during their silent drive to his house. Two drowning people too tired to cry for help. There stood the modest home he and Teresa shared. Her home. The GI Bill paid for his education. She paid for the house. It was a stuccoed, California-style single level on a quarter acre with skinny trees still staked up to keep them straight in the spring wind. He'd been proud of those trees. Copper-colored sun lamps lined the walkway up to the door. He shuffled toward the entrance at a zombie pace, trying to formulate a plan out of the chaos in his mind. Every good memory had in one night turned what gave him life into bleeding wounds that drained it. Her adultery cast a shadow backward across his memory. The love, the laughter, all lies. All of it. Had she been unfaithful before? His mind dredged up every time she'd come home late or was alone with another man. He shook his head. He couldn't do this now. He had to get out. His brown, beat-up truck waited in the garage. It wouldn't take long to grab his stuff and pull out, though he couldn't think of any place to go where comfort rather than judgment waited. He inserted the key into the door lock, suppressing the urge to break it off. He wouldn't stoop. He wouldn't go low. Once inside, he flipped on the lights in the living room, trying to keep his eyes off the enormous wedding picture that hung over the mantle of the gas fireplace. It was an unoriginal pose, where he faced forward with a sloppy grin while she kissed him on the cheek. Again, the urge to break and destroy beckoned to him, and again he shoved it down. Lifelessly, he tossed the keys he wouldn't need anymore onto the glass-topped coffee table, where they landed with a clink and skidded off onto the floor. He had to bust this out. When Teresa found him missing at the party, she would probably come home. Maybe. Pulling off his tie, he went in search of boxes. His leaden legs carried him down the small hallway next to the darkly tiled kitchen and into the garage. His beater truck, dented and rough, looked as out of place in the upper-middle-class garage as a pile of manure in a bank. And that's the way Teresa saw it, too. His dad had bought the ancient Chevy for him when he got his license, mostly because it was cheap. It still had the dent in the rust-mottled back bumper where he had backed into their family mailbox when he was 17, and in the front bumper when he had nailed a light post in the Walmart parking lot last week. Like a faithful dog, the truck had waited for him until he'd mustered out of the Marines. It had carried him to the watering hole near the college where he first met Teresa. As an infantryman in Afghanistan, he had seen plenty of action, and the ladies along the bar had absorbed his combat stories with wide, attentive eyes. He'd collected 3 phone numbers that night. But after one look at Teresa, there was only one he would call. She was it. She was everything. Beautiful. Smart. Affectionate. Adulterous. He gritted his teeth and fought the hot stinging in his eyes. In the corner of the garage, an impromptu pile of cardboard boxes awaited a recycling run. He grabbed 2 and marched to the bedroom. Like shards of a broken mirror, more memories flew at him, each one a fragment of ecstasy and warmth, each one now sharp and cutting. He didn't have much. Clothes, books, and some portable electronics. Suitcases for the clothes, boxes for everything else. After packing the clothes into 2 black suitcases he had never used, he heard the door on the second garage hum and vibrate as it opened. His heart raced. He really wanted to be gone. How could he confront her? Why should he be afraid to? He stood frozen in the hallway outside the garage, mind churning to come up with something decent yet forceful to say. He would act the gentleman, even if she didn't deserve it. Teresa killed the engine on her dark Acura, Katy Perry blaring from her radio and into the house. Muscling up his courage, he opened the door and edged his way out with his awkward load. He hefted the suitcases and let them fall into the truck bed with a noisy clunk. Teresa opened the Acura's door, the music dying. She stepped out, face perplexed and worried. He'd loved that little black dress. It killed him now. Why couldn't she have waited another half hour to come home? He would have been done by then. Now he was going to have to deal with her questions and explanations and unavoidable outbursts. Escaping into the house, he grabbed a box out of the hallway and headed for his office. How would she react to his leaving? They hadn't had a real knockdown, drag-out argument during their 3 years of marriage. Maybe that's what was wrong with it. Shoving his puzzle table aside, he whomped the box down on his desk harder than he needed to and filled it with books, reminding himself not to forget his laptop. Right next to his monitor was another smiling, sexy picture of Teresa from their honeymoon beach trip to the Northwest. Another wound. He knocked it face down with a flick of his finger. "Baby," he heard her tentatively say from the direction of the living room. "Trace?" A slight change in the light let him know she stood in the doorway behind him.
"Trace, what are you doing?"
she asked nervously. Wow. Did she really think he hadn't figured it out? He could hear the slight tremor in her voice as she fought hard to pretend nothing was wrong. He kept packing.
"You just left without telling me,"
she pressed on, her emotion thickening with each word.
"Did Darcy bring you home?" "She took the car and I had to give Simon a ride."
He couldn't resist. "You gave him a ride, all right," he said with a little acid. He dumped a programming book as thick as two dictionaries into his box with an emphatic thud.
"Oh no,"
she said to herself, turning away. He finally glanced up as she walked slowly into the living room, hand to her mouth. He took the opportunity to grab the full box and head for the garage. He would come by for the rest while she was at work. For now, he needed to get clear of the fog. Then he could think about a dignified way to tie off their relationship. Thinking of the shame he would endure telling his parents carved another hole in his stomach. And his brother. This wasn't the time to think about that. He needed to escape. He lifted the books over the edge of the truck bed and set them in with a bit more control than he felt. When he turned back to get in the cab, he found Teresa slumped in the doorway, streaks of mascara transforming her face into a mask of tragedy. "I'll get the rest of it tomorrow," he stated flatly. "Just get the legal stuff drawn up at your office. I won't fight anything. I know it's all yours."
"Don't do this, Trace. Don't go. We can fix this. This is just a minor setback."
"A minor setback? Getting into a fight about who ate the last of the ice cream is a minor setback, Ter. Cheating on your husband is a setback as big as Jupiter. What? You didn't think your dumbass marine husband would figure out that your little smiles and your little touches and Dan the wingman added up to something?" She walked down the three steps into the garage.
"It was just a stupid mistake, Trace. I'll never see him again, I promise. Don't go."
"Stupid? I think marrying a man you don't love is a stupid mistake." "Semper Fi, Teresa. Semper Fi. Isn't that what you heard 3 years ago?"
"I do love you, Trace, please."
Her begging and messy sobbing failed to move his heavy heart. "Time to go." He yanked open the stubborn driver's side door and punched the garage remote, the door crawling upward. He grabbed the wheel to pull himself inside, then stopped. The growling whine of a bullet bike racing and then screeching to a halt in his driveway stopped him. Simon, still wearing the same clothes he had on at the party, dropped his kickstand and jogged up the driveway. Unbelievable. Trace slammed the car door shut and met Simon as he came into the garage. Here was the smug face that had taken everything from him. Simon's hands were up in a placating gesture. His stupid lawyer mouth dropped open to spew out whatever he'd come to say, but Trace belted him with a hard right cross to the cheek before a word could escape his stupid face. The man was solid and hardly flinched at the blow. "Trace," he said, "you've got to..." Trace took him by his lapels and slammed him into the drywall. Hard. Simon tried to push away, but Trace shoved him back. You got a lot of nerve coming here, you bastard. She's lost her mind, Trace, Simon said. She's got a gun. Who? Darcy. She's lost it, man. A car sped up the street at an RPM higher than allowed by the posted 25-mile-per-hour speed limit. Something had gone horribly wrong at Simon's place. Trace let Simon go just as Darcy's red BMW convertible slammed into the parked bullet bike, plastic and metal flying. The force of the collision sent the motorcycle tumbling into their yard with a horrible crunch, tearing up the grass. I told you, Simon said, trying to push his way toward Teresa. She's got a gun. We have to go. Trace pushed Simon roughly out of the way and walked cautiously down the driveway. Darcy, still wearing the red party dress, shoved open the car door and got out, her face a streaked mess matching Teresa's. She strode toward the driveway, holding a Glock 9mm out in front of her in an amateur grip. Where is she? She yelled. Where's that whore? Trace held up his arms. Hold on there, Darcy, he said calmly. Put down the gun, and we'll talk this out, okay? I know you're hurt. I am too. This isn't the way. Get out of the way, Trace, she ordered, using the back of one hand to wipe her nose. Despite her threat, she stopped. Look, you can talk to Teresa, but not with that gun in your hand, he said, trying to inject some reason into her fury. You understand that, right? Give the gun to me and we'll all talk. She turned her eyes fully on him, eyes burning with betrayal. How can you defend her? The slut! Simon told me how she seduced him and threatened to blackmail him if he ever told or turned her down. Trace blinked. Was that true? The way they acted together certainly didn't seem adversarial. Someone was coming up behind them, and Trace glanced backward, finding Simon walking forward, arms out in a soothing gesture. Teresa had fled into the house. Come on, Darcy, Simon said, turning on the charm. Let's talk this out. She really wasn't blackmailing me. It just happened. That's all. You lied, she said, eyes scrunched. I had to say something, he explained. You were acting crazy. She swung the gun toward Simon. Trace saw it coming. Those unused to firing weapons often winced before pulling the trigger. He moved in front of the gun. No, Darcy, on his lips. The gunshot drowned out his nascent words, the bullet ripping into his left thigh. He grunted and fell as the thunder of gunfire faded down the street. The gun fell to the driveway, Darcy covering her mouth with both hands, eyes wide. Trace grimaced. Something primal took over, an instinctual, animal-like need to flee. The wound stung, but he got to his feet and hobbled over to the truck. Simon blew by him and into the house while Darcy slowly walked off into the yard, face pale, weeping. Trace grabbed the keys from behind the visor and fired up the engine, senses cranked up and mind blank with the pure need to escape. He threw the truck in reverse and popped the clutch, hurtling backward and slamming into the side of the BMW with a thunderous crunch. The smaller car gave way in a spray of metal and plastic. Trace cranked the gear shift and sped away, heart pounding, a sudden sweat pouring off his forehead. For a while, he just drove, the cars and trees he passed a blur of incoherent sound and light. The simple act of driving cleared his head. He probed his wounded leg. The bullet had entered the meaty part of the thigh, his slacks slick with blood. Hospital. He had to get to a hospital. But he couldn't tell where he was. He traveled on a 2-lane highway, the dark wall of hills and trees around him hiding any landmarks that might aid him. He tried to focus on the signs and mile markers, but his vision swam and his eyes stung from the sweat. He felt weak. Weak and tired. Just like the sweaty day in basic when they had finished the 14-mile hike in high heat and full gear. A car horn blared and he stiffened, trying to blink his eyes clear. He had crossed the meridian. Panicked, he rolled the steering wheel over. Too far over. In the grip of implacable momentum, the truck careened to the right in a skid that turned into a brutal, pounding roll. The truck flipped and banged through spindly trees, snapping branches and flinging up dirt and leaves in a whirlwind of cacophony and metal. Trace slammed back and forth in the cab until he blacked out. His eyes struggled open sometime later. The rusty, beat-up truck had settled upside down. The soothing trickling of a creek and the smell of gasoline filled the cab. His body was broken. The darkness was total. Cars whirred by on the road above him. Maybe Teresa was searching for him. Then he remembered why he had run, and he closed his eyes. He was alone, blessedly alone. He couldn't feel anything, and found he no longer wanted to. So tired. He just wanted to rest. And now he could.